The University Tower Chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Religious Studies, it's Professor Jim Tubbs.
Hello.
Okay, your mug says Masters.
Oh, this is from Harvard's Masters in Bioethics program.
If you had not turned the mug, it was as if you were just sort of walking around with a mug that said Masters on it.
This was swag from the Society for Bioethics and Humanities annual meeting.
Nice. I didn't know whether it was some sort of a performance piece. A student once showed up to my lab wearing a black T-shirt with white writing that said, "Potato" in all capitals.
And, else. This is a nice mug with a shield that says Veritas on it.
As long as it's not, I'm not going to say anything else. Continuing around the table, very festively dressed, is Professor Dan Maggio.
Festively dressed.
Wearing, I could hardly call it an ugly Christmas sweater. It's in the vein, but it's a nice Christmas sweater. Or a winter sweater.
But it's black and white.
Blue and white. It's
blue
not
and white?
It's not ugly.
It's a deep navy.
Yeah,
deep,
it's nice.
Deep navy.
I picked it up for like cheap.
Oh, okay.
Close out last year.
That works.
Or the year before.
So that's nice.
I thought I would dress up.
Also wearing a lovely shade of blue, it's Professor Joe Abbasid from Communication Studies.
Thank you.
Could you give us a quick update, just because, of course, of the departmental connection? I think we got some Facebook news the other day about other panelists on the show. Professor Jason Roach?
Oh, yeah.
He's a dad?
Yeah. I called him up the other day. And,
great.
He says he's doing great. He'll be back on Monday. And
wow.
Just in time for the end of the semester.
That's right.
How's Maggie doing?
I think they were staying in the hospital for a few days extra or something or another, but said everything was good. So
yeah, that's great.
I'll see him on Monday.
Good. Bouncing new baby boy, little Seth, I remember correctly.
Yep.
Just under 7 pounds. It doesn't get any better.
A little bowling ball.
Little bowling ball. Or bologna loaf, my boss always calls them at that stage. Not that you want to chop them up, but they kind of have...
7'9". My niece just had a baby 10'1".
Oh, my God.
Ouch. Wow.
2 days later.
If only... because
his name is Langston.
Oh, Langston. Oh, that's a cool name. I was thinking of when I had the first of my children, and of course Kathy Bush sat in this chair, and she respectfully requested me to deliver the details of the birth in metric, because she was Canadian. And
How many kilos?
You know, Mr. Tom, we didn't have a chance to come up with a really good pseudonym for you. I'm assuming because you're around the table, you'd like to join us.
That's fine.
Al Fresco is taken, I'm afraid. So, but I honestly, from one of our summer shows, I thought we had come up with something really nice for you, and I forgot.
Should we call it like El Dente or something?
Oh, there you go. Hey, El
Dente.
That
would actually
be appropriate. That works. We're glad to have you here, Tom.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us. Even if
glad to be here.
You know, there's no like snowflakes on your sweater, we'll still take you. All the way else around the table, purple seems to be the new norm, Professor Dave Chow.
It's just wine stained is what
no,
it is.
No, it's Advent.
Oh, good call. Yes. Advent is coming up in a couple days here. The shortest Advent the calendar can give us.
That's a rich
There's actually a wine Advent calendar. Do you know that?
Oh, I think I've seen that.
I bought the chocolate ones for kids, you know, the little doors that would open up. But that wine sounds
these
even
are
better.
For adults.
So Trader Joe's actually has a adult chocolate advent calendar
with liqueurs
with other things.
Oh, I saw that at Trader Joe's.
Yes,
yeah,
it was worth every penny. I'm talking like I've opened every door and eaten it already. But I tell you what, folks, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win an autographed photograph of the Ask the Professor panel and the ATP mug. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize too, the autographed photograph. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP or find us on the Facebook. Hi, profs. Merry Christmas and a happy Hanukkah. Here are a few questions for the holidays. Enjoy. Our friend from cyberspace, Farah Shimbo, sent these questions in.
Good.
In many parts of Italy, presents are not brought by Santa Claus or anybody resembling Father Christmas, but by whom?
The Pope.
Bishop.
Now, come on, Dan. Both you and I have a last name that ends in a vowel. Same vowel. So you should know something about your heritage.
I don't know.
What's Italian for father?
Actually, you're pretty far off.
Oh, darn.
Oh, well, I give my my darn. Wheelhouse thing, but no, it's La Befana, who is a witch.
Oh.
She rides a broom and she whacks you if you were bad the previous
like
year.
Like Belsnickel, so, who lives at the South Pole.
There you go. There you go. La Befana, yes. Mm. Only some parts of Italy. If pictures of Santa's sleigh are to be believed, we already know all Santa's reindeer are does. How could we tell?
They all have antlers?
Yeah, that's exactly it. The male deer by this time of year would have shed their antlers from the previous summer, but the women hold on to them to be able to defend their offspring in the spring.
Well, heck, so, at the North Pole, how do you know what season it is?
That's a very good point. Speaking of Santa, despite many claims, St. Nick's body was brought to Italy for burial hundreds of years ago. His tomb has actually, if you paid attention, been recently discovered in what country?
Germany.
Not Germany.
What was it, like Romania or Hungary?
No.
Denmark.
No, it was the same country that he supposedly would have been a bishop in when he was alive.
Jim?
France.
Not France. I think you guys need to go further east.
Poland?
England.
Keep going east.
East.
Scotland.
No.
I think it's your other east.
Well, the other east.
Czech Republic.
No, you know Hungary, what? It's Turkey.
Turkey
is where St. Nicholas was from.
Way east.
Turkey.
Yes, pretty far east. Fill in the blank. According to Adam Sandler's The Hanukkah Song,
oh, no.
Quote, who needs Deck the Halls and Jingle Bell Rock? Well, you can spin a dreidel with...
Casey Kasem?
Mm-mm.
Oh,
good answer that's really close to the actual
rhymes
response.
Does it rhyme with rock?
It does.
So, well, Chris Rock would be the wrong guy.
He was unpopular with that.
Yeah, not enough.
That's right.
Rock.
Two very, very, very famous Jewish observers, at least at some point.
Harvey Weinstein. Oh, no. Oops.
How about Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock?
Oh.
I'm hearkening back to a wild time called the early 90s when Adam Sandler was funny and relevant. It's okay. Stan Freberg, of all people, put out a parody holiday album. You know what it was called?
Oh,
I'm afraid I don't know who Stan Freberg is.
I've heard snippets of it. He was an ad exec.
Oh, okay.
And I'm what was it?
Any ideas? What would be a appropriate color? Like, what color would you say to wish somebody? We all know White Christmas, right? And, of course, Elvis had Blue Christmas and stuff
red?
Like that. No, something a little more ecological.
Green
Christmas.
Green Christmas.
I hope you have a green Christmas, it was called.
Okay. Oh.
So, sure. In A Christmas Carol, what character was Mr. Fezziwig?
He
was the boss.
Whose boss?
Scrooge's boss.
Scrooge's
when he was younger.
Boss. That's right. He was actually the master under which Scrooge apprenticed.
Mrs. Fezziwig was my favorite character.
What a name.
There is a...
she was a party animal.
Yeah, Sam Adams has a holiday brew they call Old Fezziwig's Ale. Of a cute little nod.
Well, Fezziwig certainly had the Christmas spirit.
That's right.
He closed down and had a big dance.
And had a big party. Yeah, that's right. Fill in the blank. The Three Stooges actually had a mildly famous hit song titled I Got a Blank for Christmas.
Hammer.
A dope slam.
How about something you can get along the line of, if Stephanie were here, she'd probably know it was a disease.
Scurvy?
It was a cold.
Oh.
Yeah. I got a cold for Christmas.
Yeah. I was waiting
the
for scurvy.
Three Stooges?
Three Stooges had a novelty hit.
So who sang lead in the Stooges?
Good question.
That's a
probably
very good
Curly
question.
Joe.
Yeah, I think Curly.
Oh, my. This one will definitely brighten our holiday. Carrie Fisher, God rest her, passing away a few months ago, once demanded a copy of what in return for her going to voice a documentary?
Money.
No. Nope. Demanded a copy of something.
Oh.
Personal protection order.
No. Nope.
Copy.
You guys aren't nerdy enough. You need to think a little harder.
Hitchhiker's
Guide to the something that only aired once that still exists out there.
Oh, a copy of the Star Wars Christmas.
The Star Wars Holiday Special. Yes.
I didn't know there was. It was on Chewbacca's homeworld.
It was brutal. It was brutal. Yes.
What?
Oh, yes. It got
awful.
Artistically lacking?
I can't even begin to describe for you what it's like to say, let's make the bartender at the Alien Bar be Arthur. That's all that you need to know about the Star Wars Holiday Special. FYI, lovely little addition here, Farrah. Carrie noted later she used to show it at parties, quote, mainly at night, At the point, I wanted people to leave.
Oh, it was bad.
Oh, I miss her wit so much. It's wonderful. I can't wait for the new Star Wars movie just to see her. Speaking of that particular bomb, the Star Wars Holiday Special, who appropriately played in the holographic band that appeared during the Star Wars Holiday Special? Very, very famous rock group out of San Francisco.
Journey? Mm-mm. Yellow. No, mm-mm. No, that's not. Who's Grateful Dead.
Mm-mm. Nope.
San Francisco. San Francisco.
I'm trying to think who
we
else.
Need Beth.
Yeah, Beth would know it for sure. Hold Beth on. Would definitely know it. How about if I say Grace Slick?
Jefferson Airplane?
Yeah,
Jefferson Starship.
Yeah, one of the two.
Absolutely.
I didn't know they were from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Extra credit. Here we go. What band recorded a song about Snoopy's participation in the Christmas Truce of 1914?
What band?
What was the name of the band that recorded the Red Baron song? Great questions, by the way, Farrah.
Oh, boy.
Is Jim humming the melody good enough for you? We'll think about it while we take
a
break.
What was the group?
It's an Ask the Professor flashback. The University of Detroit Sleigh Bell Orchestra brings us Ask the Professor. I'm your host on this Christmas program, Edwin DeWint, and today we have all of our regular panelists with us, gathered around the Christmas tree. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Sure. I mean, it's a great pleasure to be here, as always, and the top of the season to you all.
Yes. You're... All right. On his right...
George is opening all his presents.
I know it. That's his trouble.
Well, I mean, here we are.
Can't you wait?
The very day...
It's so greedy.
And we're on the radio.
I know.
You want me to have my mind focused?
Well...
I can't do that.
Visions of Sugar Plums.
Today.
That was Robert O'Neill from the Department of Psychology. And to his right, from the Department of History, looking very elfin, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Who wrote that? Oh, we're not into the
questions. No, not in the questions yet. No. And on her...
Most of the questions you hear by our listeners.
And on Sarah's right, my left, from the Department of Political Science, Professor John Klemanski.
Hello, ho, ho, Edwin.
Oh, clever. Our first set of questions are sent in from Neil Rifkin of Livonia, Michigan. Christmas-type questions.
Oh, good.
He says, I'll give you a country's name for Christmas, and you give me the country.
Okay, Sweden.
Noel.
France.
That's right. Yule.
Yule, mm-hmm. Sweden?
No.
Norway?
No.
England?
Well, it's part of that.
Scotland?
Yes, Scotland, yes. Weihnachten?
Germany.
That's right. And
that
Navidad?
Sounds German.
Spain?
That's right.
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's ask it again.
I
got all
that.
That's it. That was really
Bailey's Navidad. Bailey's Navidad. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
George.
Well, just a little musical interlude here.
And we're back. We're still really ruminating over the name of the group or band that recorded the song about Snoopy's participation in the Christmas Truce in 1914.
Does it have King in it?
It does not.
Not the Kingsman.
I said it was a regal name. The Royal Guardsman!
Oh, the Royal Guardsman.
Oh, Al Dente. There we go. Now we're talking. Now we're talking.
Nice.
Great questions, Farrah. Let's keep that ball rolling with a wonderful... set of questions from our good friend Frank Burrows. Dear Matt and panelists, heard there was a call for Christmas or holiday questions for an upcoming show. How could I say no? I could, but I didn't. I actually had started these questions after last year and just got around to coming up with the best 12. Warmest holiday wishes to all. Frank Burrows of Valencia, California.
Thanks, Frank. Send more.
Christmas seals are sponsored by what nonprofit organization?
March of Dimes?
It's not.
No. Salvation Army?
Not Salvation Army.
I can see the logos. The two...
Lung?
It's the Lung Association. Yeah, that's right. I'm thinking of my grandfather, who passed away a number of years ago, smoked from the moment he was 13 years old to when he died in his 80s. And he always had Christmas seals at his house, and then he passed away of emphysema. So it's just the way the world's put together. Alphabetically, let's see how quickly we can do it. I should have a stopwatch.
Reindeer?
Alphabetically, the last of Santa's reindeer.
Vixen.
Pretty good.
I was going to say Zeppo, but I knew that wasn't right. So. Pull, Zeppo.
Xerxes. On Xerxes. What's the capital of Christmas Island?
Where is Christmas?
It has a very odd name. I remember. I was kind of a map head when I was growing up, and I liked funky place names.
This is in the middle
names.
Of the Pacific, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Okay. The small island.
Yes, it has a... Oh my!
Haven't we had this question?
A very
before?
Normal
had a Christmas
name,
island question. I don't know
say.
If it was this one.
All right, Jonestown, Jamestown.
It's actually normaler than that. They did not try very hard normaler to name this.
Smith,
London.
I mean, the only thing normaler than that would be the city, right? Yeah. They named it the Settlement.
To settlement.
The Settlement. Settlement. Christmas Island. So, yeah.
Population 38.
They're all penguins. What popular Christmas carol would easily double as a lullaby?
Silent Night.
Yeah. I'd say so, but there's one a little, I can't say more traditional.
Away in a Manger.
Written as a lullaby. Yeah. Away in a Manger. Yes, that
all
is
right,
true.
Okay. Right.
What Christmas song has this lyric? Been drinking too much eggnog.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer?
That is exactly correct.
Oh, okay.
She'd been drinking too much eggnog, and we begged her not to go.
Wow.
As for me and Grandpa, we believe.
We believe. That's right. Elmo and Patsy. Wow. What Christmas song has this lyric? I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
Holly jolly Christmas.
Oh, Burl Ives.
Burl Ives.
Dan's looking like Burl Ives today.
No, is that a compliment?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, thanks.
You just need the goatee, that's all.
Just need a goatee?
Yeah.
In the song The Little Drummer Boy, who kept time and accompanied the little drummer boy?
The ox and ass.
The ox. I knew you were going to say it. The ox and lamb kept time.
Oh, the ox and lamb.
But
it's always a point where the kids are nodding off at Christmas Eve Mass and somebody says ass that everybody pretty much wakes up. And
what?
Perks up. That's what the Bible's all about. What does the French word Noël mean in its original Latin root?
Birth.
Yeah, birth is what it says. Awesome. That makes sense. Pretty much the entire world,
except
for Britain and America, calls it something having to do with using the root nat, right? So for nativity. Santa Claus is mainly a mix of what two historic figures? And for the record, one historic real, one historic fictional.
St. Nicholas.
Yeah, St. Nicholas, one. Definitely.
And what, Father Time?
You're actually getting pretty close. Pretty close. It doesn't say Father Time
Father
here.
Father Christmas?
But, well, Father Christmas is based on this other person. Did anybody see the new Thor movie?
No.
Odin, yes.
Odin.
The king of the Norse gods.
Really?
Yeah, he's a ruler of a frozen realm. And
well, he did have a beard, but
that's about
red
it.
Outfit.
Yeah.
You know, Santa Claus has that eye patch, works out really well.
That's why he sears a slave.
And a hammer to crush everybody
with. To crush everybody.
Oh, okay.
What's the most popular, we just had this a few weeks ago, and I just think it's a wonderful piece of trivia. The most popular meal to eat on Christmas Day, if you live in Japan,
rice and something.
I'm surprised that you guys don't remember this. None of those things are correct.
Ramen.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Michael. It's Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, that's right.
We've had this Christmas meal.
Yeah. I must have missed
that's
that.
Why
yeah, they I, do I, serious business over the holidays in Japan.
My cousins in China love it. They send their kids there for their birthdays.
Okay. Last one from Frank here. Great set of questions, Frank. It was just on last night, and I'm sorry. I laugh every single time. In A Charlie Brown Christmas, what role did Sally portray in the Christmas play that never got off the ground?
Well,
Sally.
Virgin Mary?
Nope.
Was she...
Picture her leaning on somebody with little hearts dancing off of her
head.
Okay,
so, yeah, she was always in love with Linus.
Mm-hmm.
But what...
What role did she get?
Like, was she one of the animals, farm animals or something like that? Manger animals?
No.
Was she an angel?
Your hint is that Linus was a shepherd.
She was a sheep?
No. She was the shepherd's wife.
Oh,
and that made her very happy.
Right,
she got to hang out with her sweet babu.
Oh,
so cute. Oh, my gosh. The Christmas questions just keep coming.
Man, make a call out or show up?
Yeah, set of questions. For the record, got to make sure that everybody knows. Kimberly Richards, also of California, sent us these questions almost 3 months ago. She was on the ball.
She was early with Christmas.
And their Christmas questions?
And their Christmas questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know the way that Kimberly writes questions. We got a one-line question here, and we have several lines of follow-up so that we can get the in-depth deal of what's going on.
Somebody going for a PhD in Christmas?
Yes, I think it's her. What popular Christmas song was written to actually be a Thanksgiving song.
I didn't know there were Thanksgiving songs.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be a Thanksgiving song.
Is it like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
It is not. 1850, the most popular Christmas song of all time.
White Christmas?
No.
Jingle Bells?
Oh, Christmas Jingle Bells. Jingle Bells is what it is. Okay. Jingle Bells.
Through the snow.
James Pierpont was hanging out in a tavern in Medford, Massachusetts. He was inspired by Medford's famous sleigh races to write a tune called One Horse Open Sleigh that was performed in the local children's Thanksgiving play. Everybody loved it so much, it got incorporated into Christmas. Another bit of trivia for you. Mr. Pierpont was the uncle of banker John Pierpont Morgan, who most people better know as J.P. Morgan. Jingle Bells was the first song broadcast from off the planet Earth in a Christmas-themed prank by Gemini 6 astronauts.
Hmm.
Weird stuff. Weird and wild stuff. Which Christmas song was banned in Boston by the local Roman Catholic Church in 1952?
Grandma got run over by a reindeer?
No, 1952.
Oh.
52. White Christmas?
Mm-mm.
52.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't was even it
the Elvis song?
Mm-mm.
No.
52.
No.
What city? What state?
Boston.
Boston.
Good old Boston. Boston. Let's
see. So why would it be banned in
Boston? Because the Irish Catholics didn't like something in the song.
Something. So what is it Irish people don't like?
There's very little that the Irish don't like.
Yeah.
There's a potato famine joke in there somewhere. I know there
Let
is.
Let me think.
Jimmy Boyd's record was banned in Boston by the church on the grounds that it mixed sex and Christmas.
I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Well, what did they do with Santa Baby?
Yeah,
particularly in its original version.
Boyd made worldwide news when he made a special trip to Boston and met with the Archbishop, explaining every last lyric. The following Christmas, the ban was lifted.
Wow.
Wow is right. What was used to simulate the fluffy white snow that fell in the final moments as Bing Crosby sang White Christmas in the 1942 classic Holiday Inn? It was
chip.
Not. Potato. It was far more horrifying.
Oh.
Soap chips.
Lint.
Lint. I want you to go two steps
were
more
they,
horrifying.
Were they, did they heaven. Burn something?
They didn't. They used a hazardous substance.
Asbestos?
It was white asbestos.
Oh, no.
They were dripping all over everybody.
Oh, boy.
Unbelievable. Used as artificial snow until at least after World War II in movies. Yes. So, it wasn't just old Bing's pipe that gave him the lung problem. Speaking of Christmas seals. Which organization tracks Santa's flight on Christmas Eve?
NORAD.
Yeah.
NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command. You can even call and talk to them about it. Tradition started, speaking of calling, in 1955 as the result of a wrongly published phone number where kids were calling to check up with Santa, but they actually ended up calling NORAD. Crazy. In what TV Christmas special did John Malkovich appear as the voice of Santa Claus?
Scrooged?
Mm-mm. Just special connection to Detroit on this one. 1987 was the year.
So you're graduating college.
It was animated, obviously.
It was definitely animated.
They did the voice.
I bet a very large number of the people in the last generation who grew up and shopped in Detroit.
Hudson's have, Christmas something?
Getting close. Have one of these in their home for the holidays. Wow, I'm so I'm really surprised.
Uh-oh.
I'm really, really surprised. Hudson's was brought onto line with, who were they taken over with by first? Marshalls?
Marshalls.
Right. So Santa in those wild times we called the 80s, they were making a different version of Santa Bear every season. Of course you had to call
them
all.
They're lousy for getting dates, though.
This is a wonderful twist of a social understanding. Who is credited with popularizing the idea that Santa Claus lives and is from the North Pole? Didn't really happen until the mid-19th century.
Thomas Nast?
It was Nast, and of course an illustrator would know that. But do you know why?
Property rates were cheap?
No.
Because the way he dressed. And
you know that it's actually the opposite direction in terms of cause and effect. Around that time, many explorers have been trying to reach the North Pole, which got a lot of people talking about the North Pole. So he just decided, wouldn't it be great if the people showed up after their exploration and met somebody who lived there? That's the only reason Santa Claus
is from
the
North Pole. So in Clement Moore's actual story, he just came from nowhere.
He came from somewhere. Okay. That timing must work out.
Yeah. Okay, then I'm wondering, does that have anything to do with Superman's Fortress of Solitude?
Oh, wow. Very interesting. That would have been about the same time.
I'm wondering. Sounds like a dissertation project.
Oh, no. I've got my one little advanced education.
Cultural mythology.
Which department store created the character and song of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Montgomery Ward.
Bonus points for the year of release.
53?
Yeah, I was going to say 54.
Very interesting. It says here 1939.
Quite a distance ago. Would have got it for
that
us.
That was, 10 catalogs earlier.
The team that put the song together, I think it has a formal byline now, considered naming the reindeer Rollo or Reginald before settling on Rudolph, and sold 2.4 million copies of the song the first year.
Wonder which recording sold the most.
I believe it's the Gene Autry.
Well, that was the first one.
Yep. Mm-hmm. How does the Hanukkah menorah differ from the menorah traditionally displayed at a Jewish temple? We do have a religious studies problem.
Is it the color?
No, it doesn't
say
that.
The height of the stand?
The shape of the arms, I guess.
At least indirectly. The traditional menorah is a candelabra with 7 branches. Mm-hmm. The Hanukkah menorah has 9 branches to hold candles, one of which is used to light the other 8 for the 8 days of the holiday. So only 7 at the temple. In what modern-day European country would people say the first illuminated Christmas trees appeared?
Germany.
Some say Catholic reformer Martin Luther lit the first tree a century prior when the night sky inspired him to affix candles to a tree. I think as the...
He saw the stars through the tree. Thought that'd be a good idea to put something light on the branches.
Here on the, just a few weeks from the 500th anniversary of the Reformation.
Yep, that's right.
So many of my Lutheran friends had interesting posts on Facebook that day. Which American president banned Christmas trees at the White House?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Do you remember why?
Wasn't he on some ecological kick or something like that to save the forest or something?
Oh, I was going to say it was probably the candles.
It says at the time...
His kids would have burned anything down.
So there is only one large mammal known to humans, it's not humans, that is known to have the ability to see in the ultraviolet portion of the spectrum. Dave's shirt would blind them right now.
Reindeer?
It's reindeer, yeah. It's caribou can actually see ultraviolet.
Well, I was trying to think of the connection between that and Christmas.
Yep.
Yeah, it wasn't a possum. Oh!
The key here is that it can see contrasts in the bright white Arctic.
Mm.
But, purple or not, it's time for us to say goodbye, Professor Chow.
See ya.
El Dente.
Goodbye.
Professor Abbasid.
Take care.
Professor Maggio.
Merry Christmas.
Professor Tubbs.
Happy, happy times.
And now, these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM. Or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Miles.